Beloved radio friends, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you warmly again. We thank God for the privilege, as well as the opportunity of coming with the Word of God and bringing its message to your heart. We turn again to the book of Jude, that short but very pertinent epistle that has so much within it in the way of warning and admonition in relation to the apostate conditions in the last days of Christianity. We repeat again that we are studying the subject of apostasy from this epistle of Jude, and we are outlining it in this threefold manner. First of all, Jude declares the commencement of apostasy, that is, apostasy within the church. And then we shall also note, Jude refers to the continuation of apostasy, that it has gone on and will go on to the end of the church's history. And then ultimately, Jude reveals the consummation of apostasy is just an eternal doom. We've already touched upon the commencement of apostasy from verse 4, and also found in verses 5, 6, and 7, three examples of apostasy that were given by Jude. The example of the people of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, how God had to destroy them who believed not. The example of the angels who fell from their original estate, the fallen angels of Satan, now reserved in everlasting chains under darkness and awaiting the ultimate judgment of the final day when they will be banished into the fires of eternal hell. We also noted the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities that came under the judgment of God for their immorality. And again, may we repeat, no apology for our repetition, for the truth we would like to imply very emphatically. Unsound teaching, when men depart from the truth of God, it leads them not only away from God's truth, it leads them away into immoral and unsound living. There's nothing better to keep one living properly and manifesting a godly life than when you know and obey the truth of God. May I speak to anyone that is not a Christian? You may be troubled about the ungodliness and the sinfulness of your life. Why don't you come to God through Christ and find through your salvation in Christ the power of godly living? And you and I, my fellow believer who know Christ, may we be reminded the power of godly living can only be manifested by our obedience to the truth of God. But now we would follow on in Jude's epistle to touch upon the fact, as we begin reading at verse 9 through 11, that the apostle describes the work of these apostate men. And here are the words that he declares: likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now let us look very carefully and analyze prayerfully these words that Jude has written as he describes these apostates and their work. First, you note the description that he gives to them: filthy dreamers. Filthy dreamers. Now there you can recognize that their thoughts are not dwelling upon divine things, but upon things that are impure and things that are unsound. Filthy dreamers. They have their own subjects that they propagate. They have their own teaching that they thus give. But Jude speaks of them as being filthy dreamers, and the source of their dreams and the source of their preaching or teaching is not from a divine source. For, he goes on to say, they defile the flesh. May I go further, if I may turn to the second epistle of Peter, and I would like to point out that even the beloved apostle Peter writes of these same persons, or the character of such, in his second epistle, which we have already referred to on a preceding message in relation to this subject. But I want you to note something that Peter writes concerning this same type of apostate. I'm going to read in chapter 2 of Peter in verse 10. And you know what Peter says. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of their uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now here is a corresponding scripture from the pen of the Apostle Peter, describing the work as well as the character of such men. First he says, they defile the flesh. They walk after the flesh. They walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. May I once again repeat that when men turn away from the truth, they go away from not only sound doctrine, but they go to the path of unsound living. I cannot emphasize too strongly the importance of sound doctrine. For sound teaching from the Word of God will keep us in the narrow path and living and walking to the glory of God. Well did Paul write in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now note, a fourfold profit. First, it is profitable for doctrine, meaning teaching. It is profitable for reproof, meaning for conviction, to convict us when we are wrong. It is profitable for correction, to correct us when we are wrong. And fourth, profitable for instruction in righteousness, meaning instruction in right living. And so Peter, together with Jude, reminds us that when they walk contrary to the word of God, they go in the lust of their uncleanness. And Peter goes further to say they despise government or lordship of any character that may oppose them. And in their presumptuousness and self-will defiance, they are not even afraid to speak against dignitaries, whether earthly or even celestial. And likewise it is Jude that declares the same characteristics of these. Let me read chapter 1, the epistle of Jude, the only chapter, in verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they speak evil of dignities or dignitaries. Now again let me state, they are more defiant and irrational than even an angel would ever be in their rebellion against the truth of God and the glory of God. Now Jude gives us an example of their defiance. Jude tells us from what we read in verse 9, we can recognize that men go further than an angel would ever go in speaking against dignitaries. And Jude gives to us an illustration of this and an example of the fact that an angel would never do so, as he brings before us concerning the body of Moses when he died. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now you that remember your Bible may recall that God was himself the undertaker for the body and the burial of Moses after his death. Where Moses was buried, none, humanly speaking, ever knew. And God undoubtedly had a direct reason for burying his servant Moses. But then on the other hand, the devil had another reason for trying to get hold of that body. And when the funeral was evidently underway, Michael the archangel was contended against by the devil as the devil sought the body of Moses. Now you may ask the question, why did the devil want the body of Moses? But, beloved, I'll tell you one thing. The body of Moses would have become an idol to the people of Israel after his death. I do not believe that there's been one person above any other venerated amongst the people of Israel than God's great servant Moses. And there is no question of doubt. If the body of Moses could have thus been, as the Israelites, they had the knowledge of it from Egypt, of thus mummifying the body of the dead, they would have kept that body of Moses and it would have become an idol to them as well as a curse. So God buried his servant Moses himself. But when the devil came around and contended against the burial, as he contended with Michael the great archangel. Now here is Michael the archangel, who realized and knew from the creation of God that the devil in creation was a greater created being than he. For when you read the holy scriptures in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, you have the truth that the greatest of all angels created was Satan himself. And here is Michael the archangel acknowledging and recognizing and honoring the glory of creation and the greatness of this being, Satan. He didn't love Satan, not by any means, but he acknowledged that he was a greater created being than himself. Father, bless thy word in the Savior's worthy name. Amen.